Well, while the PM's in the United States, the Resources Minister is travelling through Asia, talking up the government's efforts to make hydrogen Australia's next multi-billion dollar export industry. Instead of petrol and diesel, hydrogen could be used to power trucks, trains and cars, and Australia has its sights set on becoming a leading supplier to Asia. The Resources Minister, Matt Canavan, has just signed a deal with South Korea to develop the hydrogen industry, and he joins me on the line. Minister, South Korea has also signed deals with Saudi Arabia, Norway and Israel. So what share of this hydrogen market do you think Australia can get?
Well, there's no precise figures on that yet, Kim, but another report we're releasing today by Geoscience Australia shows that Australia's got some unique characteristics around the world to produce hydrogen. We certainly have opportunities to do so in the two main pathways to produce hydrogen at the moment, one of which is using gas or coal through a gasification or steam refining technique to extract hydrogen and potentially use carbon sequestration to create clean hydrogen. We've got sites for that. And the other pathway is potentially using water effectively, electricity through water from the likes of solar energy. And obviously our large land mass provides opportunities for that. So we're well placed to contribute, particularly to our region's energy needs. We're proximate to the high growth countries in Asia, and that makes sense for Australia to focus on this potential opportunity.
So, what does that report from Geoscience Australia say about the prospective hydrogen production regions in Australia?
Well, as I say, it looks at those two main pathways, and you know, like most energy or complex production techniques, you need a combination of things to come together to make it work. In the case of electrolysis, you need access to water, you need access to forms of renewable energy, and you need access to ultimately transport and ship that product to Asia if it's going to be used for the world market. So that's looked at those areas. It's also looked at areas where we've got particularly trapped or leftover fossil fuels. For example, we've got 400 years of brown coal in the Latrobe Valley, plenty of resources there. You can extract hydrogen from that, and you've got potentially carbon sequestration locations in the Bass Strait where there are disused oil fields. So those are the sort of areas it's looking at. They've effectively come up with the fact that probably more than 200,000 square kilometres of Australia could be used for hydrogen in the future. So there's lots of opportunities.
How far are we, though, away from producing a commercially viable, cost-competitive hydrogen industry that's created using electricity from renewable energy sources and not fossil fuels?
Look, we think we're a generation away, at least. That's certainly the view around the world. There's a lot of work to do. I mean, to put it in context, we first shipped liquefied natural gas overseas in the late 1980s, and now we're just getting to a serious scale in terms of world energy contribution from LNG. So that's taken a generation, and the shipments of LNG in the late 1980s were commercial. Hydrogen's not commercial right now. It is roughly 3 to 4 times the cost of natural gas. It is used in industrial processes at the moment, particularly for fertilizer production. So there is a world market for hydrogen. But in terms of using it for transport and energy costs, with a big effort that we're focused on is getting costs down as quickly as possible. We've got to make it competitive for it to be widely adopted.
You're also visiting Japan on this trip, and you're promoting Australia's rare earth minerals, things like lithium, cobalt and magnesium that are used in mobile phones and electric cars, wind turbines, solar panels and the like. China has the lion's share of this market. How quickly can Australia eat into that?
Well, we've got world-class reserves with, for example, the second largest producer of rare earths. We make 16 of the 25 different minerals that go into a mobile phone. Most of you, probably your listeners, have probably got one close to them right now. So we've got a unique opportunity to contribute. We also have some projects that are well advanced, and I spoke yesterday to some battery manufacturers here in Seoul about opportunities in Queensland and Western Australia for nickel, cobalt and lithium production, all essential contributions to the manufacture of a battery. And of course, you've seen in the United States this week, the Prime Minister to have discussions with the United States about supply of critical minerals. So we've released a strategy on this earlier this year where we're looking at investing in the infrastructure, the innovation required, and really the next step now is to attract that investment from key partners like here in Asia and the United States.
During a speech in Chicago overnight, the Prime Minister has described China as a newly developed rather than a developing nation, and he says that in recognition of that, tougher obligations need to apply to China. Do you think China is following the global rules, for example, when it comes to trade?
Well, look, I'm not an arbiter here or a judge and jury on on individual circumstances. But as the Prime Minister has expressed before, we see that the complaints that the United States has made about some practices have legitimacy and need to be addressed. I think the Prime Minister's contribution overnight is another step forward in that, that we are trying to find a way forward here.
But basically asking China to act like a grown-up, do you think the Prime Minister might have irritated Beijing?
Well, I think that might be a bit of a verbaling there, Kim, of what the Prime Minister said. Obviously, we will expect to see trade markets mature over time. We do have situations in place where, under trade rules, those countries that are developing or below a developing status have special concessions. I'd love to see more countries in the world, obviously, be elevated and up to a developed status, because that'll be good for the world. That'll mean that millions of people have come out of poverty, and that's definitely happened in China. So, when that maturity takes place, that's something for discussion. But I think it's important that we have those discussions.
Resources Minister Matt Canavan, thank you very much for speaking to AM this morning.
Thanks, Kim. Have a good day.